T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pleased to be joined by SNY's John Harper to talk a little baseball. Harp, how have you been?
Good, Chris. How you doing?
Oh, it's beautiful weather out there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not too. At least it's not cold. Could be worse.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And then the roads would be a mess. So, you know, it'll get better before it gets worse. How you been? Everything good?
Yeah, good. Been busy. Busy week.
I guess so, huh?
The winter meetings. Got the post-midnight call to go on after Cole got signed by the Yankees. It made for a late night, but it was fun.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun always to put the pieces together, and unlike the last couple of years, we haven't had to wait as long for some of these big deals to get done, getting them done before Christmas and some of the moves being made, the Yankees bringing Gardner back, losing Romine, losing Gregorius, getting Cole, the Cespedes news comes out, you got Waka, you got Porcello. It's kind of interesting times. What sticks out to you right now? I mean, I could ask you about each one, but maybe I'll let you do the order. What's of interest to you and get you excited about 2020?
Well, it's got to start with Cole. I mean, I thought it was – I wrote that right after ALCS ended, and it was the right move to make for them. The timing seemed to be perfect just because it feels like they're so close to winning a championship, and this is a guy that could put them over the top. I know it was more about the clutch hitting maybe in the postseason, but – you put this guy at the top of rotation, and I just think everything changes for them. So they spent a ton of money, but I think in this case it's warranted, especially when you look down the road a little bit and you don't have the kind of pitching, this kind of guy coming in the next couple of years. They could lose Tanaka. They could lose Paxton. So, you know, it really feels like now they should be odds-on favorites to win it all, especially with Cole being subtracted from the Astros. So, should be an exciting season for the Yankees, you would think.
Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, that we, you know, we're at a time now and somebody just called about how many teams seem to be bad. In other words, you're either in it or you're not, and the separation, no matter what the sport, seems to be greater than it's been in a while because there's no percentage in being 500. And I guess it's just a long-winded way of asking you, when you are preparing for October and it isn't December of the coming year, of the year before yet, or it just got into December, it's difficult to be a Brian Cashman type when you know that everyone is really not going to pay attention to you till you get to October. All the rest of it is a glorified spring training to an awful lot of people.
Yeah, for Yankees especially, it's a long way to get there because now it's back to the times and you know when nothing matters till October for them.
Exactly.
They're expected
exactly.
to win.
That's my point, so. And they won 100 the last 2 years, right? I mean, so they've already been there and done that. If they win 95 or they win 115, it's not going to change much because October 2nd or whatever, they're going to be 0-0 again, and here we go.
That's true. But it will be fun to watch Cole pitch, I think. That's for sure.
I think they're a fun team to watch play anyway, yeah. Yeah,
they should hit a ton of home runs if Judge stays healthy. I'm still waiting for that. I mean, he came close to winning the MVP. I still think Judge has an MVP season in him, and I don't have nearly as much faith in Stanton, but he'll hit some bombs if he's healthy. So, yeah, they should be fun. It is good to see, you mentioned it, I think part of the reason we're seeing a little more action this winter is some of these teams that were in the tank now are starting to come out and feel some pressure to get out of there and start to win. Teams like the White Sox and the Reds and Padres, they've made things a little more interesting this winter, so I think that bodes well for, you know, continue to have a little bit more action this winter.
And you got Rendon and Trout on the same team now, which is nice. I mean, it gives you that, you know, West Coast something to look at in the American League, which is sort of fun. What about the loss of Didi and the loss of Romine? Because, let's face it, Sanchez, and in fact, a lot of the Yankees, we know Hicks is out at the beginning of the year. Yankees do have some injury concerns. Last year may have been an aberration, but it also, you know, opens people's eyes to the fact that you need that 25-man roster.
Yeah, Didi especially. I think he's going to bounce back and have a big year. I guess they just decided they didn't want to pay him. Maybe it had something to do with going all out for Cole. And if that's the case, you know, I mean, I think you can accept that if you're a Yankee fan. I think you'd rather have Cole, but I think Didi bounces back from that Tommy John surgery and everything else. And that is one thing about the Yankees. They don't have much left-handed power or left-handed hitting at all, especially now Hicks is going to be out for a while. So it's going to be an all right-handed lineup. It probably isn't a huge deal because, you know, they do use the other, they use that right field side of the stadium as well anyway. But there are going to be times when they're going to miss some left-handed power. But I think that, you know, the Romine thing's interesting. I know they got the Hishigiaga, I forgot how you pronounce it, as a backup. But they don't have much else there. They might be looking for a backup catcher. And I think Torres can handle shortstop. He's shown he can play it. He makes some careless errors there. He's probably going to continue to grow into that position. And I think they're set there with Torres and LeMahieu at second. And then they want to play Urshela at third anyway. I think we might end up seeing Andujar move over to first base maybe and see if he can play there some, DH some with Voit, and get his bat into the lineup somewhat.
Yeah, that's one of the intriguing things that spring training will bring us. And also, you know, what role Mike Tauchman plays and how they handle how often they're going to play Gardner and you know, that whole situation. So for a very good team, there are still a lot of questions. And do you think there's any fire to the smoke that they're interested in Josh Hader?
I'm sure Cashman's trying to anytime something like this comes up, he's all in on it. And it would be fascinating to see because that would be, man, that would make that bullpen even stronger. You got to think that the Brewers are asking for a ton because this guy has 4 years, I think it's 4 years of control left. Maybe they're worried about how much he's been used and at some point, you know, he's not going to be the same guy, but he's still young. He's just got that, you know, that fastball that nobody hits. I mean, I know he gave up some home runs this year, but he still had a ton of strikeouts. You put him in that Yankee bullpen where you can make sure you don't overuse him, and all of a sudden I think he's even more effective. So I got to believe the Brewers are looking for a ton in return, and I don't know if the Yankees – I mean, they can offer him – maybe they can offer him Andujar, maybe and Frazier, and even this Devi Garcia. Would they put all three of those guys? Not, I don't think they would do that. Maybe two of them? That might get it done. So I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility. It's just that Cashman's been very protective of his – kind of his assets in the last couple of years. And now that he's got all these pieces in place, maybe he sees that as the one last piece as well.
And he's got to manage that 40-man roster, as you well know, which is, you know, difficult when you have guys blossom like Tauchman did and Urshela did and Mike Ford. You know, all of a sudden there's a lot of guys you don't want to give up, and they've got young pitchers. So that could enter into it too, that they need to – you know, to finagle that 40-man roster to keep it the way they want to keep it and balanced as they can. It's an interesting problem to have, a good problem to have if you're a Yankee fan. And, boy, the season is long. You know, we're talking about it now, and we're already excited about it. And and it'll be next October when things will really heat up again with this Yankee team in all likelihood. We're talking to John Harper of SNY. What is your biggest question outside of the bullpen for the New York Mets? Where do you think their focus should be, needs to be? Where are their biggest question marks as they approach spring training?
Well, yeah, I mean, outside of the bullpen, they're in decent shape. I mean, the bullpen to me is still a major issue, but I mean, I think, well, first of all, the Cespedes thing is really, really came out of nowhere. I don't think anybody had any idea. It does make it a little more, I mean, it looks like they have money to spend now. You would think they'd maybe get one more piece, because supposedly they're out of the Betances thing. To me, if you add Betances, you really do fill in a lot of the gaps now. Hey, I'd like to see him get that everyday center fielder that they haven't had. I don't know if they're going to make that trade for Marte, but, you know, you hear different things about Marte's ability to play center as opposed to a corner outfield position. I'm sure he's better than Nimmo, but is he a great center fielder? It doesn't sound like it based on what you hear, so I don't know if it's worth it to go that way. I mean, you can live with Nimmo and Conforto at times in center. If you're getting really good pitching, you got some offense. I would have liked to have seen them, you know, try to trade Ramos and sign Grandal, because the catching to me, you know, Ramos is going to be a problem defensively again. But the big thing is the pen, and if they I still think they have to address it. You know, they signed the depth starters in Porcello and Waka, but I still think that that pen could be a major. It's just asking a lot. You're almost counting on Diaz and Familia for these bounce back seasons, and I'm not sure you can count on that. I don't think you can, because I don't know if it was just a matter of the mechanics or whatever with Diaz. I think some of it was, it just seemed like maybe that the stage was too big for him at times, the whole New York thing, I don't know. But I think you're really taking a huge gamble if you don't add some more depth to that pen.
Yeah, and I think they should have the opportunity to do that. Am I overrating him, or did you think that Romine would have been a nice solution for them at $4 million?
Yeah, he would have. He definitely would have helped.
I mean, you need two catchers now. You got injuries, yeah, you and you just guys don't play the way they used to play. I mean, they just don't. I mean, it. You know, the reality of it is, it's not what you want it to be. It's what it really is. And the backup catchers become real important. And to me, John, the 25-man roster now has never been more important, because you know, all this load management or whatever you want to call it, it's in all sports now. It's real. It's not going away, and it is something that teams have to account for as they manage their teams and get them ready for postseason play in all the sports. So there are no small spots to me. And, you know, catching isn't great in Major League Baseball right now. I just think that's a missed opportunity for the Mets to not be more active on Romine.
Yeah, that could have been. Because, yeah, the catching situation, as you said, has changed now. And it does have a lot to do with this, whatever you want to call it, load management.
Yeah.
The science is telling these teams that you're going to get more performance if you get, if you keep these guys rested, especially the catcher. So, yeah, very few catchers are going to catch 120 games anymore. So, yeah, Romine, I kind of like the idea of maybe Jason Castro. He would give him a left-handed bat as a compliment to Ramos. But it is important for the Mets, I think, to keep Ramos rested, because his defense is bad, especially when he plays too much. He gets tired and he kind of gets, I don't know, maybe it's not lazy, it's not the right word, but he just doesn't move well back there. So they need to keep him as fresh as possible. So that backup guy is going to be important.
Yeah, and you just never want to waste a great staff to a poor defensive catcher, to me. You know, it's like Dan Marino without receivers. You just don't want to have that great starting staff and not have somebody you're proud of defensively behind the plate a lot of nights. To me, that doesn't make a lot of sense, and that's why I think they should have maybe been more aggressive there, but maybe they'll have time to work it out, and maybe they'll spend some of that money. Hey, I wanted to get your thought just on a regular sports perspective on Janoris Jenkins and just, you know, that part of where we are now in 2019 with social media and with, I don't want to call it political correctness, because what he said went beyond that, but the general way that discipline is going to be handed out now in some of these situations where the player crosses a line on social media.
Yeah, the Giants move quickly, that's for sure. And, you know, I hate to be cynical, but you wonder if they would have done the same thing if he was still kind of considered that elite defensive back.
Yeah, you doubt it. I mean, I think most people doubt it, that they wouldn't have done the same thing. And if it was Saquon Barkley, they wouldn't have done the same thing. So there's no doubt that that's going to creep into most people's mind. But it's just an interesting thing we're dealing with right now that isn't going to go away.
Yeah, and you know, these players are they do it to themselves with the tweets and everything else, and I'm sure that's going to continue to happen. But it is, you know, I mean, it's something that teams are going to have to take control of, I think, in some ways, if they want to be able to, you know, be able to handle these situations. I just think that it's interesting because, you know, the Giants especially have been this team that had this image of doing everything right. In recent years, they've done just about everything wrong. I think they did handle this right, but I still think that, you know, I mean, look, fans, if the guy can play, fans are going to want to see him on the field. I think fans are fine with letting this guy go because he's not the great player in the Giants. It really doesn't matter for them this season. But that's always going to be kind of the where you're going to have to deal with what's right versus what's best for the team.
Yeah, and they had to know the questions were going to come the next day. You know, you wonder why the Giant media people didn't jump in there and say, hey, Janoris, this is what they're going to ask you. This is how we need to handle it. How do we want it to be perceived? What, you know, at least to have a strategy session. If the player ignores you, he ignores you. But teams now have to get out in front of these things, don't they?
That's a huge part of PR now, absolutely. These guys are coached more than they've ever been from the time they signed compared to, you know, days, the old days. But the PR department has become more important than ever. But there's only so much you can do. I even go back to last year with Mickey Callaway when the Mets people basically said, hey, you know, we want you to apologize for after the thing with the clubhouse incident in Chicago with the reporter. And they thought they had it all set up. He comes out and he basically refuses to apologize, shocked the people, you know, the people upstairs, and he had to come back out and do it again. So if you can't even do it with the manager sometimes, you're not always going to have success getting the players to listen to what you're telling them to say.
John, Merry Christmas to you. Happy New Year as well. And we appreciate your time on this dreary Saturday afternoon. You brightened it up a little bit. Thanks.
Hey, thanks, Chris. Same to you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.